Ever wonder how far your rights really extend? Like way beyond what you'd think?
Oh, absolutely.
Today, we are going deep on a case that shows just how connected your right to an attorney is with your other rights.
Yeah.
Even across different cases.
Yeah.
Buckle up because it gets fascinating.
It really does.
We're talking Commonwealth versus Sherman.
Massachusetts case.
Supreme Judicial Court. Big one.
Oh, yeah. Sets precedent.
And this case, it grapples with a question with huge implications for how the police handle attorney requests and what you need to know to protect yourself.
Definitely important.
So the core issue, does the police's obligation to tell you about a lawyer's request to be present, you know, during questioning, does that extend even if that lawyer represents you on a completely different charge?
Separate case altogether, unrelated.
Right, like totally unrelated. So picture this.
Okay.
Everett Sherman gets picked up for breaking and entering. Right. Seems pretty straightforward, right?
Uh-huh.
But here's where it gets interesting. The officer, the one investigating the case, just happens to run into Sherman's lawyer.
Oh, way.
Her name is Rita Scales. And Scales is representing Sherman on a completely different charge.
Oh, wow.
It's pure coincidence they cross paths.
Really?
Yeah. Just a chance encounter.
Huh.
But this random meeting triggers a legal battle that goes all the way to the state's highest court.
Wow.
So Scales, she makes it very clear to the officer that she wants to be present for any questioning of Sherman.
Makes sense.
Right. You'd think so.
Yeah.
But the officer, he doesn't tell Sherman that his lawyer wants to be involved.
Oh, so Sherman doesn't even know.
Exactly. He's totally in the dark.
Hmm.
So Sherman, not knowing that his lawyer is trying to reach him, he waives his Miranda rights.
Oh, no.
And as you can probably guess, he makes some incriminating statements.
Classic mistake.
And this is where things start to get really complicated.
I bet. The court has to figure out, like, did he really truly waive his Miranda rights, knowing what he was doing, if he didn't even know a lawyer was trying to get to him?
Right. That's the big question. And to really grasp the court's decision, we need to rewind a bit and revisit those Miranda rights, specifically the right to counsel. It's not just about physically having a lawyer there during questioning. It's about ensuring you understand you have that option.
You have to have the chance to make a real informed choice, like knowing you have that legal backup.
Exactly. And the court, they lean on two previous Massachusetts cases here.
Which ones?
Commonwealth versus McKenna and Commonwealth versus Monkey.
I know those.
These cases, they establish a clear rule.
Yeah.
The police, they have to tell you if a lawyer is trying to get a hold of you while you're being questioned.
It's like a legal safety net, right? You shouldn't be left in the dark when you're making huge decisions about your case.
Absolutely. And Sherman, this case, it takes that idea a step further. It says that obligation to inform a suspect about a lawyer's request, that applies even when the lawyer is representing them on a totally different matter.
It doesn't even have to be related to the current charges.
Nope. It's like it levels the playing field in a way.
I know so.
You're not agreeing to play the game without knowing all the rules.
I see what I mean. So the court's saying you've got to be informed, period, whether it's a parking ticket or a homicide charge.
Right. That's a key takeaway from Sherman. If the police know a lawyer wants to be present, they have to tell you.
That's huge.
Yeah. The court and Sherman really hammered home how crucial it is for a suspect to be fully informed when they're waiving those Miranda rights.
Right, right. They actually called it vitiation of waiver.
Vitiation of waiver.
Yeah, basically it means if the cops don't tell you key info, like that a lawyer is asked to be there, then your waiver might not even be valid. It's like tainted, you know?
So let's get into the majority opinion written by Justice Hennessy.
Okay.
They didn't mess around here.
What'd they say?
Majority, they were super clear.
Mm.
The lawyer's request, even though it was for a different case, it still triggered that duty for the police to tell Sherman.
It didn't matter that the charges weren't related.
Nope. The fact that any lawyer was in the picture was enough for them.
Interesting. They really drew a line in the sand there.
Oh, absolutely. They said it very clearly. An identified attorney is different from some vague notion of having a lawyer someday.
So once the police know a specific attorney has asked to be there, the duty kicks in.
Exactly. And here's another big point. They said it doesn't even matter if the officer meant to keep this info from Sherman.
Like if it was deliberate?
Right. Even if it was an honest mistake, negligence on the officer's part, it was still enough to toss out Sherman's waiver.
Wow. So even a simple slip-up can have major consequences.
Exactly. And to back up their reasoning, the majority, they pointed to a landmark Supreme Court case.
Which one?
Escobedo versus Illinois, back in 1964.
Oh, yeah, a classic.
That case established the right to counsel during interrogation.
Right, as an organic right. It's like this fundamental protection not tied to specific charges.
Exactly. And Sherman, it kind of reinforces that. It's saying your right to a lawyer, it's bigger than just the immediate charges you're facing.
Makes sense. It's about making sure you have legal advice in any situation where you might say something that could be used against you.
So we've got this strong opinion from the majority, you know, about a defendant's right to know when a lawyer wants to be there, even for a different case. But like any good legal debate,
there's another side to the story.
There is. We have a dissenting opinion here from Justice Nolan.
Ah, okay. What's their take?
Well, Nolan argues that you can't just focus on that one thing, you know, the lawyer's request.
You have to look at the bigger picture.
Yeah. Nolan says you have to consider the totality of the circumstances to decide whether Sherman actually waived his rights, knowing what he was doing.
So Nolan's taking a broader view.
Right. They point to other things, like the fact that Sherman was given his Miranda warnings. He had the chance to talk to a co-defendant.
Okay.
His father was there.
Right.
And there was no evidence of, like, coercion or anything like that during the questioning.
So it's a more nuanced argument, looking at everything, not just this one piece of the puzzle.
Exactly. It's a more flexible approach, considering the whole context, to figure out if the waiver was really voluntary.
That's interesting. So we've got these two clashing perspectives, the majority's stricter rule, laser focused on that lawyer's request.
Versus the dissent, which is more adaptable, taking into account the whole situation.
Yeah, a classic legal back and forth. This is where things get really interesting. It's not about picking a side.
Right.
It's about understanding the subtleties and seeing how these legal principles can be interpreted and applied in different ways.
In this case, it's not just some theoretical debate. It has real-world consequences.
Oh, big time. Commonwealth versus Sherman lays out a four-part test for figuring out when the cops are obligated to tell a suspect about a lawyer's request.
A four-part test. Okay, break that down for us. What are those four factors?
Okay, so first, a lawyer has to be representing the defendant on one charge, and then they find out that the police are going to question the defendant about a second charge that's totally unrelated. Second, the attorney has to tell the police that they want to be there when the questioning happens.
Yeah.
Third, the police have to inform the defendant of their Miranda rights, but they can't tell them about the lawyer's request to be present.
Got it.
And finally, the police question the defendant, and the defendant says something that incriminates them on that second charge.
So if all those things line up, the police in Massachusetts, they absolutely have to tell the suspect a lawyer wants to be there, even if it's for a different case.
Exactly.
That's a big deal for how the police run investigations, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It really highlights how important it is to respect the right to counsel and make sure suspects really understand their rights and the help they can get.
It's kind of like a protection against those surprise interrogations, you know, those gotcha moments where you might say something you wouldn't if you knew a lawyer was on their way.
Yeah, it's about making law enforcement be more open and accountable in how they deal with suspects, which is really important for having fair trials and due process.
This case is specifically from Massachusetts, but it could have an impact in other states too, right?
It's definitely possible. The ideas behind Sherman, they're relevant nationwide. Other states might look at this case when they're dealing with similar questions about Miranda rights and what the police should do during questioning.
Okay, so this all seems pretty straightforward, but there's a big question we need to address. How does this case, with its strong stance on telling suspects about lawyer requests for any charge, fit in with Montejo versus Louisiana? That's a U.S. Supreme Court case that seems to set a different bar.
That's the million-dollar question. Montejo seemed to say that the police don't always have to explicitly tell a suspect a lawyer's trying to reach them, especially if they've already waived their Miranda rights.
So we've got this potential conflict between a state decision in Sherman and a federal Supreme Court ruling in Montejo. It's like a legal tug of war. And it leaves us wondering how these two cases can exist together.
That's exactly the kind of thought-provoking question we want to leave you with. Does Sherman, with its stricter approach, go too far? Or does it provide more protection for individual rights, even if it seems to differ from the federal standard set in Montejo? We'll let you think about those questions and come to your own conclusions.
It's a good reminder that the legal world is always changing. What we think is settled law today could be challenged and reinterpreted tomorrow. It's what makes this field so dynamic, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And it shows why it's so important to stay informed. As lawyers and legal professionals, we need to keep up with these changes and understand how they could affect our clients and our work.
So there you have it, Commonwealth versus Sherman, a case that reminds us that the right to counsel isn't just some formality. It's a foundation of our justice system, designed to protect people from the power imbalance they face when they're being interrogated by the police.
It's a reminder that our rights, even the ones we think we know well, can have hidden complexities. And as legal professionals, it's our job to explore those complexities and advocate for our clients with a deep understanding of these evolving principles.
And if this deep dive has made you curious, I really encourage you to read the whole Sherman case, including the dissenting opinion. It's fascinating to see how the different justices tackle these fundamental questions about Miranda rights and what the police have to do during interrogations.
And as you read those opinions, try to see things from the officer's perspective in this case. How would you balance the need for effective law enforcement with the need to protect individual rights?
These are the questions that keep us engaged, challenge our assumptions, and make us think critically about the law and how it works in real life.
It's all part of being a legal professional. The learning never ends.
That's right. Keep those legal minds sharp, stay curious, and we'll catch you next time on The Deep Dive. You know, this whole discussion about a lawyer's request and the duty to inform, it got me thinking, what if the lawyer in Sherman hadn't been appointed by the court? Like, what if Sherman hired them himself?
Interesting question.
Would that have made a difference?
It's hard to say for sure.
Right.
The court's decision, it doesn't really address that specific scenario.
It doesn't.
No. It focuses on the fact that Sherman had a lawyer who was clearly identified and that that lawyer made a specific request.
Okay, bet.
Whether that lawyer was privately hired or appointed by the court, that's not really discussed directly.
It makes you wonder, though, right? Like, could the outcome have been different?
Possibly.
Would the court have been as strict about this duty to inform if the defendant had actually chosen their own lawyer rather than having one appointed?
It's definitely something to think about. The right to counsel, that's fundamental, but the court might have looked at it differently if the defendant had actively sought out legal representation.
Instead of just having a lawyer assigned to them.
Exactly. It's like, did they go out of their way to get a lawyer involved?
It was a kind of a gray area then.
Yeah, Sherman doesn't give us a clear answer on that one.
Which makes it even more interesting to think about.
It does. It's a good example of how a case can clarify some aspects of the law, but then also raise new questions about how those rights play out in different situations.
It shows how dynamic legal interpretation can be. Each new case kind of adds another layer to our understanding of these fundamental rights.
Absolutely. And for anyone listening who might be in a similar situation, the message is clear. Be proactive.
Don't wait around.
Right. If you've got a lawyer, make sure the police know. Write down every time you ask for legal help. Don't leave anything to chance.
Solid advice.
Yeah.
So Commonwealth versus Sherman, it teaches us a powerful lesson. In Massachusetts, at least, if the cops don't tell a suspect that a lawyer wants to be there, even for a totally different charge, anything they say can be thrown out.
Huge implication.
That's a big deal. So, folks, take those steps to protect yourselves. Let Sherman be your guide. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Commonwealth versus Sherman, and we'll catch you next time.